over well with the gathered group. Dylan and his brothers had expanded the arsenal slowly, vetting every applicant with such intense scrutiny only the best survived. Impressing one Mason was virtually impossible. Gaining acceptance from all six took a special operative, a damn good one worthy of being an arsenal asset. Or so Mary had heard from everyone who'd come and visited her the past few days. Personnel records told another, somewhat troubling story. Gage Sanderson had become a regular drop-by. The quiet man was what she and Vi termed a ninja warrior, a soldier so adept in the field he excelled in everything. Very few earned the designation, but what she'd seen of his record, because she was bored and studied all the Arsenal employees, he was a high contender for the title. He sat beside her, his gaze assessing her and Vi, rather than Marshall.
"The floor is yours, Edge."
"I'm Edge. Across from me is my partner, Quillery. Up until recently, we worked at Hive, assisting with operations and doing what we could to ensure successful missions. Marshall read you in on what's happened the past several days, but he didn't tell you why. We've gathered evidence proving Martin Driggs and more than a quarter of the operatives he employs are dirty." Mary let her voice rise. "I intend to take them down. Hard." A few people shifted. No one refuted her claim. Dylan's jaw twitched, but his brothers all grinned. She took a deep breath and dove in. "So far, we've held back, put out some feelers with other operations, and flown under the radar while we quietly swept a few known hideouts for Driggs." She settled her gaze on Vi. "Those wasted couple of weeks gave Driggs a false sense of security and time for me to heal. But it's time we start the real fight." She nodded, and Vi activated the feed. Images of Driggs filled the screen, but Vi flipped to the next image, a world map. "The first and most critical phase is asset protection and recovery. Driggs left many in the lurch, essentially leaving every open book contract Hive had in jeopardy. Addison Ruggers is working with a legal team to secure his portion of Hive. Until then, she, Quillery, and I are going to establish a base of operations here at the Arsenal for the burned operatives in the field. We're bringing them all home safely." As had Driggs tried dumping Hive's operational funds into his own Cayman account, but Edge and I locked it down a couple months ago to prevent such a move. "We should have enough funding to securely finalize current Hive operations." Vi pushed a button. Color-coded dots appeared on the map. "What you're seeing now are the current operations and the situation levels Quillery and I have classified them at, based on last contact. As you see, most are somewhat secure and are, therefore, in green. Others are questionable, primarily because last contact was more than 3 weeks, and they're not in a location where we can simply phone them." Mary waited for the few chuckles to die off, since the yellow dots were all in deserts or jungles. The men had likely been there, done that, and had a trunk full of t-shirts.
"Those are the yellow dots you see here. Marshall and Dylan have coordinated with us, so some of you may be sent out in the field to retrieve these assets."
Mary's got twisted as her gaze swept around the room.
"Quillery deferred that decision to me. I won't risk any of you unless the asset at risk has been fully vetted as trustworthy by me. I won't put anyone's neck on the line to drag in one of Driggs's cronies."
Edge and I went over the ops and personnel files yesterday. We're both confident the assets we've flagged here are not Driggs's asshats, but Edge wants one more round with them today. These were all long-running ops, so there is no rush to secure. Vi moved to the next image, the map with red dots.
Two critical missions went live the day of my abduction. Both are high-value targets with extremely credible operatives.
Mary's heart banged hard.
One of them entered the operational theater early yesterday morning, and Quillery established contact. The other one should do so within the next few hours. While Quill and I anticipate completing the missions without issue, we may need a secondary team to enter the op and assist.
While Quillery and Edge are at the arsenal, which I hope will be a permanent settlement, they are in full control of back office operations. They will be your eyes, ears, and brains from here on out. Cord is gladly turning the helm over so he can assume a more active leadership role in the field, where he's best suited.
Marshall glanced at Mary and Vi both.
We're lucky to have them, and we'll protect them from here on out. Their arsenal.
Voices thundered in a deafening military-like call they'd clearly created. Mary's insides burned beneath the protective sentiment radiating from everyone around her. It was almost overwhelming. She took a deep breath, though, and forged onward.
Once we secure the red-flagged assets, we enter phase two of my plan to take down Driggs. This is where things get a bit sticky. But I'm kind of known for sticky.
A couple people chuckled, cluing her in to the fact they knew who she was. Confidence strengthened her voice. As Edge, she commanded respect. She mattered.
This phase is aggressive and in three parts. Each one is an in-your-face, ball-breaking throat punch for Martin Driggs and every dirty Hive operative behind him. First and foremost, we let everyone know Quillery and I are at the arsenal. If a team needs or wants the Quillery Edge for an op, they come here. Quillery completed that phase before this meeting started.
Dylan and his brothers tensed at the end of the table.
Yep.
She probably should have gone over all this with them first, but she wasn't known for seeking approval.
Second, we'll work closely with the Mason brothers to actively recruit Hive contractors. Many of their best assets are paid by the job and answer to no one. These are the backbone Driggs has relied on the past few months, and we're taking them.
How do you know they'll come? And are they worth a damn?
One of the men near the door called out.
They'll come because we tell them to. We're only going after the ones we deem worth the effort.
Mary flashed an apologetic smile at the Mason brothers and continued.
As for whether they're worth it, I'll be blunt. I find more than a third of you not worth the effort.
And what Edge isn't saying is most won't work with anyone but her or Quillery, Addie added.
And I better not be in that third, or I'll kick your ass.
Mary chuckled.
The last prong of this phase is already underway and will be where most of you come into play. We're warning all the Hive operatives and assets. The organization is burned. We're also sending out communication detailing why and who.
What if you're wrong?
The same man asked. Mary was used to prickly bastards. Too many of Hive's operatives were like the balding, overmuscled jerk. Authoritative women had zero place in his world. Anything she said would be discounted. She was a bit surprised he'd made it into the arsenal ranks. She looked at the personnel records once, but clearly another perusal was in order. She stared the man down, allowing the thickening tension in the room to grow. He swallowed and shifted his stance. An awkward, uncomfortable smile spread on his face, the kind a man made when in the crosshairs of a sniper.
"I've run over 400 missions and have yet to be wrong, so I suppose I'm due. You'd better pray you aren't around when the bill comes due, because the kind of fight I can't pull your sorry ass out of is one no one in this room wants to be in."
"Dan, do you have a problem with Edge and Quillery assuming command of base operations?"
Dylan asked.
"I don't see why we're bringing them on. Things are going great as they are. This is bullshit, sir. How do you even know they're up for the job?"
"And now we're back to where I take over," Marshall commented. "I skipped over some of the show and tell portions of this meeting because it's a bit crowded. My brothers and I are tired, and I honestly didn't think we'd hired anyone who needed to hear anything beyond the names Quillery and Edge, and the fact we endorse them. But we'll rewind and do some show and tell."
Dan skulked backward, retreating closer to the exit. Addie blocked it with a glare.
"Sit your ass down, Hennessy," Nolan growled. "If we're putting Edge and Quillery through listening to this, you're damn sure going to pay attention."
Cord hooked his laptop up to the screens and flashed an apologetic smile at her and Vi.
"Sorry, Marsh didn't think either of you would sit through this, so he didn't want me saying anything."
"Great," waylaid. She and Vi had been rolled out too many times to count for the pony shows Driggs used to throw. The elaborate parties for potential clients where he walked them around and introduced them like prized trophies he'd won. He'd regale them with half-baked stories so glossed over with fake bullshit, the underlying truth rotted beneath.
"Peter Ruggers saved my ass too many times to count. I was green and too lost in my ego over getting into Delta to see I wasn't ready for what that meant."
Marshall cleared his throat.
"He once told me he'd met only 7 people worth their weight in gold on an op. We're lucky to be in the presence of 3. And to be clear, I'm not one of them."
He let the statement settle a moment. Peter Ruggers was a legend in the paramilitary world. Loss spread through her like wildfire just thinking of him.
"Addison Ruggers, the baby sister he trained himself and bragged about to anyone who'd listen, took slot number 5. Quillery took the 3rd slot. He said she could take down an alien invasion with a laptop, a paperclip, and candy bar. Her name should have been MacGyver."
Everyone chuckled. Vi smiled and swiped a tear from her cheek. Mary tensed. She suspected she was next.
"He told me once, a couple months before he died, that if he only had one person at his back, he'd choose Edge. He sat in my office down the hall and spent 2 hours telling me why she was number 1 on his list. Said he'd pick her over God himself if given the choice."
Mary couldn't breathe. She stared at her casted arm and waited out the silence Marshall commanded with words so thick with meaning and emotion, they choked out anyone who refuted them, including her.
"I'm not putting her or Quillery through a long show and tell, but it's important for all of you to understand why I trust them to have everyone's back and drag you out of whatever situation you find yourselves in."
He nodded. The screens flickered. Surveillance footage of the Hive's operational command center appeared. Gunfire blasted through the overhead speakers. The view went to a split. One half showed her and Quillery side by side at the helm while the other showed the command screen. Peter stood behind them, silent, focused.
"Status, A76 Bravo," Quillery said.
Mary remembered the fight. It appeared in her nightmares at times, before her capture.
They'd sent a team in to retrieve SEAL captives and walked straight into a trap because Driggs assured them data he received from his government source was accurate, despite what she'd suspected. This was the nail that sealed his coffin with Peter.
"Get them out!"
Driggs screamed, shoving past Mary. "Back off, blunderbuss," Quillery hissed. "Yell later. Sit down and shut up so we can handle the bullshit your intel crapped all over our team." Addie chuckled. No one else joined in. It wasn't Vi's finest moment. Her friend's cheeks reddened. The message flashed across the command screen. Mary decoded the transcripted statement from the team's leader. "Team is compromised. 4 of the 5 members sustained injuries impeding movement. Location is critically pinned under heavy enemy fire with no sustainable weaponry. 3 team members psychologically unsound for continued firefight. Loss imminent." Driggs cursed and slammed a chair against the wall. His thundering screams echoed through the room. Peter knocked him out in one punch, then rolled him out of the way. Without a word, he nodded for them to continue.
A-76 Bravo, this is Edge."
"Fuck, it's really over, isn't it?"
"Now, don't give me a complex, Cappy. You know I don't have a strike yet, and you aren't going to be my first. Sheila's about to squirt out baby number 3. I'm going to get you out of this so she'll name it after me. You ready to do this?"
"Not seeing how," the man whispered into the comm. "My team's dead man walking. They don't see an out, not even with you shining the light."
"Then I'd better use a bigger light," Mary commented dryly as she tapped away on the computer screen and called up the local satellite images, then fanned outward.
"Okay, Cappy, you're wedged in tight, but there's a port a mile away. We're getting you there."
"How? We're pinned in. It could be across the street and we'd never make it."
"Did I ask your opinion, Sergeant?" Mary shouted through the headset.
"No, sir."
"Remove your headgear. Show me every inch of the room you're in."
The camera rattled and jumped as the man did as ordered. Mary pulled up data while she kept him occupied. Gunfire exchange rang out over the comm. She muted the man's feed and activated a second one.
"Graves."
"Edge here. We're hot, as expected."
"Roger. ETA 2 minutes."
"Make it 1. I need you to listen closely and do exactly what I say."
"Pretty sure I always do,"
the man droned.
"Well, this is gonna sound a bit nuts even for me," Mary replied. "Blow them up on my mark."
Silence blanketed the room and the line as she rattled off the encoded order, then repeated.
"Roger, Edge. At location waiting your mark."
"Your mark for paint. Don't get shot."
"Not on my bucket list today, Edge."
She unmuted the primary feed.
"Okay, Cappy, take the axe in the corner and open those barrels in the corner. You're in a chemical storage area, so I need you to pay close attention. I want everyone to pour the yellow jugs on themselves. Coat every inch. Do it quick."
Mary watched as they complied. Moments ticked by. Then Graves gave the signal he was ready.
"We're out of ammo,"
someone shouted.
"That's okay, we're done shooting. It's time to blow this joint. Crouch in the southwest corner of the building, fetal position with your heads against where the wall meets the flooring. Do it now and hold your breath. Do not breathe and keep your eyes closed. Do not move. Do not breathe. You hear me, Cappy? I want you to pull out all 5 of the heat sheets in your gear and put them on top of one another. Then pour the rest of the yellow jugs on them until they're dripping. Then I want you to put those over you, not 1 inch of skin exposed."
The heat sheets were a state-of-the-art creation designed to her specifications for Hive operatives. Like Mylar blankets used by the military, they had a few added qualities that helped when things went wrong.
"What the hell are you doing, Edge?"
"Getting you home to Sheila, Cappy. You ready?"
Moments ticked by as the team obeyed her orders.
I think so. Jesus, this shit stinks. What is it?
I'll give you a chemistry lesson later. Right now, take a deep breath and hold it. We're almost clear.
Mary muted their feed.
Your go for boom.
Roger.
The warehouse exploded. Visuals from Fallon's view displayed the concussive force of his brilliance. Mary never would have trusted another soul with what he did. Cheers and revelry, followed by sporadic gunfire into the air, filled the airway. The camera jostled.
Please tell me I can take them out, Edge.
Afraid I need the team and assets secured. Next time.
Mary clicked on Cappy's feed.
Okay, Cappy, how's it going? I know it's pretty hot in there right now.
Yeah, seeing how you blew us up,
the man muttered.
What now?
Graves is coming in.
Roger.
10 minutes later, Graves and Cappy both gave the all clear as the boat headed out. Thank God. She'd had the foresight to send the demo expert in, just in case. She'd gotten her ass chewed by Driggs for that stunt. The feed flashed to a different op, then another. 1 hour later, Marshall leaned back in his chair and looked around the room.
I'd stop there, but there's one Nolan wants y'all to see.
The data feed crackled through the room's surround sound system, but Mary knew which op was up. Fire flickered in Nolan's gaze as it settled warmly on her. A single chin lift, then he focused on the displays.
I'm getting a bit sick of your bullshit, Edge.
Nolan growled through the comm.
Then suck it up, soldier. I swear, I have a girlfriend who'd kick your pansy ass through that jungle. It's not even nightfall yet.
Move it.
You aren't getting any younger or smarter,
Mary retorted. People around her snickered.
How's it going, Bravo? You haven't turned Navy and wussed out on me yet, have you?
Fuck you, Edge.
Your whiny ass wouldn't be up for it, Bravo. I hear you have 5 brothers. I bet they beat you up as a kid.
There's always one run in the litter.
Everyone guffawed.
How's the team? You checked injuries yet? I'm thinking we need to push pause on the pace, establish a camp so you can play medicine man for a while.
Supplies are low.
You're in a forest. You're surrounded by nothing but medicine and weapons. We'll make you some of those, too. I hope you learned how to cook because you've got a job ahead of you.
This is a grueling week-long trek, Bravo. You've got to be more Tarzan than G.I. Joe out there.
I think we figured that out when our exfils both got blown to shit, Edge.
Well, give the run a prize. He has a brain after all, Mary said.
The men gathered around her in the conference room chuckled as the feed recounted how she walked Nolan through picking foliage, climbing trees, and gathering needed stuff. Then she berated him into a reflexive rage to keep him going as he ground plants, boiled leaves, and guided his men through applying poultices and making poison darts and blowguns. They then tested out their new blowguns and hunted their food.
Now that your men are tucked away and fed, let's talk about the other plants I had you find. I want you to steep a tea with them in the morning. Make sure you all drink plenty. Gather water overnight like you've been trained.
What's the tea gonna do?
He asked.
Keep you going, Bravo. You don't need to know anything else. It'll likely taste like shit, but you keep everyone drinking some every morning without fail. Make the darts every night, reapply the poultices. Those are your standing orders if I don't get back with you when I expect. I'm gonna lose my feed to y'all soon, so I'm gonna be real pissed if you don't do what I told you.
Jesus, you sound like my sister.
Everyone in the room laughed.
She's bound to be a saint to put up with your stupid ass, Bravo. Now, are you good for dark? It'll be 11 hours, 30 minutes before satellites return, but I'll be here working on an exit strategy, okay? We're in this together until you and your team are secured. Just because you don't hear me doesn't mean I went home, put on my Snoopy jammies, and drank a bottle of wine.
I figured you as more of a Harry Potter girl.
Only on the weekends, Bravo. Hang tight. Keep an eye on that gut wound. Don't make me kick your ass for getting an infection. You won't like my solution. Mary paused. You want to hear it?
Not particularly.
Flesh-eating maggots, Bravo. Think on that until I come back. The room went silent as the feed stopped. Nolan leaned back in his chair, hand on his gut. A lump lodged in her throat.
We were hot in deep enemy territory. There was a war raging around us, two drug cartels fighting for the territory we were in. I didn't think we'd survive the night, much less 6 days. We were out of bullets, too wounded to handle our knives, and staving off infection with poultices made with plants instead of real medicine. All I thought about the next few hours were maggots eating away at my gut wound.
Nolan's voice boomed within the war room, strong and alive.
She was in my ear for a few moments each day. Any more and the batteries would have died on our comms.
Mary smiled. She'd been a total bitch.
The brilliance of Edge's handling of me should be in every training manual around the world. No one else, nothing else, but sheer smartass and bitchy comebacks would have kept me and my team going. Her giving me shit and getting in my head at every turn kept us moving. Pissed off team leader, so far in his head because the voice on the comm kept the team fueled and battle ready even though we were falling apart.
Nolan's voice cut off. He cleared his throat and looked away a moment.
Edge called in favors with the agency, got a company copter in, piloted by someone who owed her a favor. In heavy enemy fire, he dropped in and picked them up.
Dylan added,
Now, Dan, I'll ask you again. Do you have a problem with Edge and Quillery leading office operations?
The man paled a bit as everyone looked in his direction. He crossed his arms and puffed up.
She's not a soldier, sir. I can't support a civilian behind my comm. Then you're out,
Dylan replied.
What?
Dan asked.
You are out. I don't want anyone on a team who won't respect our decisions and those of the people we have on the comm. You're gone. Dallas, get him out of here before I lose my temper.
Dylan glanced around the room.
Anyone else?
No one spoke.
Dismissed,
Marshall added.
Red, blue, and orange teams prepare for wheels up in 2 hours. Report to my office in 30 minutes.
Mary sat and waited for the room to empty. None of the Masons moved, even though she kind of hoped they'd file out as well. Vi smiled from across the table as Addie sat beside her. Nolan sauntered over after the room emptied fully. Her nerves rattled like a drunken Congo line. Face to face with operatives she pushed in the field sometimes got a bit awkward. She did what was necessary to get them home, even if it went over the line. Hell, she lived her life over that line. It was why she was the Edge. Dylan settled a hand on her shoulder from behind as she rose and faced the man she'd pulled from the jungle. He'd spent a week in hell because of idiots in a government building, but he'd survived. He smiled down at her.
For the record, Edge, I totally rocked the Tarzan swing and cry.
He thumped her nose with his finger and smirked.
And I still get twitchy when I see worms. You've ruined fishing for me.
I can die happy then. Nemo and Sebastian are safe.
Whatever you need, Mary. Anything at all. Just ask.
Nolan said.
Welcome to the Arsenal.
Thanks. She nodded and motioned toward the table. I have a list of contracted assets from Hive. I'd like to review them with whoever makes decisions. Recommend a few to undercut Driggs.
Dylan can work with you on that. And whatever else you have,
Marshall replied.
He's point on all things Hive.
Chapter 6. Women weren't worth arguing over. Bros before hoes. Dylan and his brothers had practiced the mantra their entire lives, a necessary survival skill in Rosino, Texas. Mary had a connection with Nolan. Dylan didn't like the fact it existed, but she'd pulled Nolan's ass out of an impossible situation. Dylan should have seen this one coming.
Maybe Nolan should run point, he suggested.
Marshall's eyebrows quirked. Nolan jolted. Mary tensed. Dylan needed about a dozen beers to knock back the day, the shitty thoughts mucking his brain up. More importantly, he needed to numb the urges chewing away in his gut.
Outside, Nolan said. Fuck.
Big brother number two needed to chew a piece of his ass. Fine, he deserved it. He followed him into the hall and across into the next room. Arms crossed, gaze focused straight ahead, he waited.
What's up? I'm stepping back. I get it, really. Should have realized. Come again? I'm not following. Mary, I'm stepping back. Didn't realize you'd stepped up, but okay.
Nolan sighed. It's not like that, man. You've heard the banter, the way she goaded me. Fuck, it was like having Riles in my head all week nonstop, except for the blackouts. Even then, she always left me hanging, thinking of flesh-eating maggots and other creepy shit.
She's not our little sister.
No, for you, she's not, but to me, she may as well be. What's this really about? Nolan's voice lowered.
She's not Haley. Nowhere close. No worries on that front.
Haley Southers was a sore spot, one everyone knew better than Polk. Dylan fisted his hands and looked away.
This isn't about that.
Then what the fuck is it about? You start handing everything over because you think I'm vibing on a woman, but say you aren't stepping up. Newsflash, man. You said you were stepping back. That means at some point you'd stepped the hell up and decided to pursue Mary.
Fuck.
Dylan's head was a mess. He settled his hand at the back of his neck and stared at the floor. He needed a ride, a fast one, going about 150, or a jump from 30,000 feet. Anything to get the adrenaline high and knock his brain into a different gear. One not focused on women with soft curves and issues a mile wide.
I'm not going there with her or anyone else. Not anytime soon.
Fair enough, but I'm wondering why you and I are having this conversation since we both know there's a talk you've never had with a different brother. What happened in there to get your head twisted?
Damn nosy big brothers.
Being the middle kid sucked rotten eggs.
Hearing her with you, the confidence, the seductive lilt in her voice when she pushed just a bit too far. It made me want to...
Dylan cursed and turned away. Fuck. Mary had crawled under his skin and settled in like she belonged. He wanted to protect her, push her to see what reaction she'd have. Who did she rely on when everything crumbled around her? He'd been on the edge ever since Vi shared her concerns. Then he noticed the little things, the way she didn't accept compliments. Everything she exhibited pride in was Edge, not Mary. Not her, but her work. She buried herself under a crushing weight of responsibility. Why? And why the hell did he want to be the one there with the shovel to dig her ass out when she suffocated beneath the weight? He should have learned his lesson with Haley. There was a real blow. Nolan was right. He'd never had the conversation everyone expected. He'd gone wheels up an hour later, stayed away long enough for the dust to settle and Rosino to move the hell on. But he hadn't. He compared every woman to her, expected the same end, waited to see which brother circled for the landing first, always the first to back off. Then Mary swooped in and sank her claws in before he noticed.
She's a wonderful woman, man.
Nolan's comment forced him to the present.
Go slow. She's had it rough, as you know.
No shit. He turned toward the door. By the way, find out what third of our people she doesn't like. I want us to review them. Dylan was glad they were on the same page about something.
4, 6, 7, Charlie.
What the hell was Fallon Graves doing on the team comm? He was the best damn asset Hive had in the field, but he never ran comms, mainly because he hated them, and he was contract. He wasn't allowed. Unease pricked along Mary's neck. Dylan settled beside her, as if preparing to handle whatever problems arose. Edge here. Where's A323 Bravo? She paced in the Arsenal's operational theater and waited for the video feed to go live. She'd decided to take the India situation on alone and let Vi tackle the other one. Divide and conquer. Since she was one hand down, Cord had offered to supply his fingers to the keyboard, but he wasn't savvy on Hive lingo, and there wasn't time to read him in.
Fuck, Edge. You know I don't do the coded numbers thing.
That's fine, Graves. I've got an assist not savvy in it either. We'll do this clean.
Well, that'll be the only thing clean in this op.
The man muttered through the speaker.
Be advised, the fearless Hive team lead hightailed it out of the zone with half the operatives in tow. I am solo with the new guy, Lucas Donovan.
Roger, Graves. Hive is compromised. Are you go for asset retrieval?
You tell me. Am I watching my six with Donovan, or should I put a bullet in his gray matter now?
Cord had Lucas Donovan's record pulled up. Close quarters combat, sniper, former Delta. A ton of redacted records, not worth a damn, of course. Damned red tape always got in the way. She reached over, tapped a few buttons on the keyboard with her good hand, and the real, clean reports came through. Okay, this should be a fairly easy in and out if you apply ordnance as you go. The boom can serve as your support team. You packing enough for a large perimeter?
I'm almost offended you asked.
Mary laughed into the calm. She rarely enjoyed every moment with an op, but she always did with Graves. He was one of the rare ninjas. Let's free a team then. Hopefully the Delta boys would hold their own once freed. A two-man team couldn't carry four out, no matter how decent they might be in the field. She looked over at Cord, who'd been skimming Donovan's service record. He highlighted a few things.
Your buddy's former Delta. Sniper certified, close quarters combat, ordnance qualified. Recommend dual entry and ordnance drop.
You want me to let another man handle my treasures?
Graves teased. Only if you're man enough for a little competition. You let me know, and we'll fly with your read on this one. He's fresh in the field for me. Mary waited for the man's judgment. She accepted few opinions, but she'd take his without question. He muttered a few curse words into the comm, then started barking orders to the other guy. Another headset clicked on, and she keyed in Lucas's presence on a second comm.
Donovan, Edge here. How you holding up?
I'm holding. I'm go for breach, if that's what you're asking. Not leaving boys behind.
Pride swelled in her chest a moment. Of course he'd be in for breach. Delta boys were in there. She suspected it wouldn't matter. He probably wouldn't leave anyone behind.
They're getting out in time to have a beer stateside soon. We're doing ordnance drop on entry. Controlled explosions will cover and assist exit, sending suggested patterns. Graves, your call on approval.
Jesus, these are some kick-ass toys, Edge.
Come over to my new playground, and I'll let you play with the real cool toys, Graves. Guaranteed.
New playground, huh? Where'd you land?
This wasn't the optimal time for a 411 session, but he needed the intel and could listen while reviewing the route.
The arsenal? Driggs and his cronies hauled me in, worked me over.
You're shitting me.
His anger thundered through the overhead speakers.
We're a go for boom. Suddenly, I'm in the mood to blow some shit up. When we're done here, Edge, you and I are having a long conversation.
Roger, Mary said. Clock set for 15 minutes.
Roger. He's close to you.
Dylan commented. Mary turned and rubbed her neck. Fallon Graves is one of the best I've ever worked with. He saved more missions than Vi and I could count. He's always plan B if we can secure him. He's number one on my you've gotta snag him list.
Good. Then we'll see him in action.
Cord commented.
How'd you do the underacting move?
Mary showed him the keystrokes to activate Hera's decrypting protocols. The program made things so much simpler. Cord called up Graves' records and got to work reading. He'd be at it a while. The man had a jacket almost thicker than Dylan's and Marshall's, which said a quite lot.
I can send this to the guys?
He asked. Yeah, just hit F5, then click on the recipients. As long as they have sufficient clearance, Hera will send the files. Otherwise, you'll get an error message.
Sweet.
He grinned and tapped away like he'd just gotten a visit from Santa.
Closet nerd.
Dylan quipped. Mary didn't think there was much closet left where Cord's geekiness was concerned. About earlier, with Hennessy?
Thanks. I didn't mean to cause trouble.
You didn't. Our word should have been enough. He was on the edge for entry into the arsenal as it was. I'd rather oust him now than have him be a problem in the field.
Dylan motioned toward the board, to the side of the monitors. The three colored teams Marshall had called out earlier.
I'm orange. We're wheels up in a few minutes. Just wanted to make sure you're good until I get back. If you need anything, let Cord or Nolan know.
Blood settled into Mary's feet. Her stomach somersaulted. Her heart thudded against her breastbone.
Right. Of course, you're a team lead. You're going for one of the yellow markers.
Yeah. When I get back, we'll chat about your list, okay?
List. Right. Operatives. Okay. Good plan. Mary forced her brain to work. She couldn't let Dylan distract her from the job. He was an operative, a team leader, going into the field, working like she should be. So why did she want to grab him and beg him to stay? Who would sit in the chair while she slept? The thought had no place in her mind, yet it repeated a few times before Mary shook off the fear clawing her insides and focused. The job, work, duty, and responsibility kept her focused. Always. No matter what, there was always someone she could help. Something she could do.
Okay. Well, thanks for telling me. Be safe.
She motioned toward the screen.
I've gotta go. Graves and the new guy are in a hot op alone. They need me.
Right.
Dylan's jaw twitched.
I'll see you later.
Okay.
Mary turned and forced herself to remain focused on the monitors rather than the man charging out of the operations room. She wouldn't ask which location his team was being sent to. But it's right there. He said he was orange. Just take a peek. No, Graves needs you. Forget about Dylan.
We're green for target, Edge.
Fallon's voice startled her a moment.
Roger, go.
Cameras mounted to their headgear activated. The world around Mary faded away as her mind swept into the ratty side streets of an Indian village. It'd taken her 11 days to track them down. The radicalist bastards who overwhelmed them had a twisted agenda she'd yet to unravel. Not her circus, not her monkeys. The why didn't matter. Not now. Get them out. Get everyone stateside. That's what she did. That's who she was. Edge.
You should go back in there. She gets distracted, goes away in her own head. When she's running controls, she isn't Mary. She's rarely Mary these days, not since Peter died.
Addie looked away and shoved a clip into her sidearm.
Did you tell her I was tagging along?
No, it doesn't matter. Why should it?
Dylan hadn't heard the flirtatious Edge, except with Nolan. Then again, how many ops had she assisted? More than 400, she'd said. How many of them did she tease and flirt her way through with the operatives? He'd assumed she was like that with Nolan, pushing his buttons and making insinuations because that's what he needed to get through. Survive. The Edge he heard with Graves was a different person than the woman Mary seemed to be outside the control room, which was the real one. Did it matter?
Addie confirmed what Vi had said, though. Mary changed after Peter's death, threw herself even more into work. She'd definitely been in her head rather than in the conversation with Dylan earlier. Someone needed to help her get a grip on whatever was eating her up inside. Why the hell hadn't any of her friends handled it already? What were they waiting for? And again, did it even matter? He zipped his go bag shut and ignored the answer rattling in his brain. Fuck yeah, it mattered. Because he wanted to know what made the woman tick. He'd promised to keep her breathing. Marshall knew damn good and well Nolan could have led the orange team. He needed to be here with Mary, not in some fucking backwater Mexican town chasing idiots. Get wheels up, find the targets, get the hell back. Easy. That fucker Graves had the right idea. Knocking some heads and blowing shit up sounded like an epic way to work off the aggressive rage banging away in him. Bring it on.
Chapter 7. Mary stayed at the edge of the clustered group as the jet landed on the narrow runway. Runway was a bit generous of a term for the barely paved thatch of area carved out between cow pastures. The arsenal had two personal liers and a chopper in a large hangar a couple miles deeper into the Mason property, past the compound. It made sense, but left her nervous about security. It was remote enough to be an open target. She and Vi hadn't even considered going deeper into the pasture land for reconnaissance. Mary wondered what else they'd missed. None of that mattered. Dylan's team filed out of the small vehicle. She held her breath, counting and silently assessing their condition. She peeked between Mark and Gage's massive arms as Addie descended. Thank goodness. a bit dirty, but uninjured. Dylan. He prowled down the narrow stairs like a panther being released into the wild. He swept the perimeter, his gaze moving in a slow, meandering perusal. It honed in on the two men in front of her, and she gasped, held her tummy to appease to rioting flutters deep inside. Gear slung over his back with one hand, he wandered their direction. She memorized his gait, the way he favored his right and instinctively angled his free hand toward that knee. No blood or torn clothing. Was it bandaged? Addie was field certified. Surely she'd taken care of it. Dylan strolled past Logan without a pause. Mary shoved through the two men she'd tucked herself behind and closed the distance. He halted a couple feet away as she chewed up ground with her harried stride. "What happened to your knee?" she blurted. He winced and looked around a bit. Red stained his cheeks.
"It's fine. Just pulled a muscle."
"Is that what we're calling it now?" Addie teased as she wandered over and smiled at Mary.
"I wish you and Quillery would have been there to see it. We're in a cantina waiting to establish contact with the team lead when Casanova here catches the eye of two young and sexy little ladies."
Mary fidgeted from one foot to another as the other Mason men swarmed their brother and formed a semicircle behind her. Addie's voice boomed easily over the dull roar of conversation around them.
"Casanova, huh?"
Jesse teased.
"I swear, I wouldn't have believed it if I hadn't seen it. These two girls came from different directions." Addie's gaze widened.
"Twins!"
Dallas chuckled from beside Mary. Dylan's jaw twitched.
"I'm thinking they don't need the details,"
he commented.
"Oh, but they do,"
Jesse argued.
"These two start spewing at one another in Spanish so fast, Saul couldn't even keep up."
Addie motioned toward a quiet man to her side.
"Then one of them grabs Casanova and says, 'We dance.'"
Addie and Saul both broke into booming laughter. Tears formed in her friend's eyes from the amusement. And even though Mary wanted to find the humor in the story, acid burned her guts. Twins.
"We're in a cantina in the middle of nowhere, Mexico, and these two young, gorgeous girls start a dance-off with Casanova here as the prize. Their papa comes flying from the back, along with four of their brothers. Music starts, and it is on."
"A dance-off?"
Amusement drifted in Marshall's query.
"Oh, yeah. They dragged him around the dance floor like a mop. He snarled and growled at Saul and me to do something, damn it. So, being the dutiful team member, I recorded it."
Addie smiled and winked at Dylan as she dragged out her cell.
"I sent it to Quillery when we landed. Put someone on popcorn duty because I brought the entertainment."
Mary watched her friend saunter off with Saul in tow. Dylan growled and glared at Cord.
"Secure that footage," he ordered.
"Oh, I think we need to fully investigate the situation. Make sure you handled things well under pressure."
"Who won?"
Marshall said.
"Come on. I'm sure you'd rather clean up than get your balls busted,"
Mary said. "Let's go." She tugged his shirt and dragged him through the clustered group toward the vehicle she commandeered. The large black King Cab truck growled to life. Dylan slammed the passenger door. His scent permeated the air, musky woods with a hint of cigarette smoke. The latter surprised her a bit, but operatives sometimes took on bad habits in the field.
"I'd love to scrub Saul's cigarette stench off me, but I'm not ready for round two with the herd back there."
His statement settled into the awkward silence in the truck as it lumbered toward the compound.
Hang a left at the Y in the road. You hungry?
Sure.
She hadn't eaten yet. Marshall had dragged her out of the theater with a growled,
Dylan's team is landing.
It'd been a long 5 days.
Pull over then. The drive's a bit longer, and I don't want your arm giving you fits.
He stroked his fingers along her cast.
You look tired. You slept okay?
No.
It's been a bit hectic around here.
Well, all teams are in now, so it should get a bit quieter.
He commented dryly as she slid out of the truck and he slid over. He reached over and snagged the belt when she took her seat. His hot breath fanned her cheek as he situated the belt around her and snicked it closed.
You good?
She nodded and forced her throat into a clumsy swallow. He smiled and threw the truck into gear. The vehicle growled down the narrow entry into Arsenal Country. Dylan paused where the drive met the ranch road, then made a left. A green sign read Rosino, 10 miles.
Where are we going?
Dinner. I'm starving and want a cold beer without bullshit.
Dylan obviously really didn't want to talk about the twins, which left Mary really wanting to know. She chewed her lower lip a few minutes.
I don't have any money.
We don't need any, but there's always some in the glove compartment of every company truck, along with a weapon and extra ammo.
His lazy gaze slid over her like a lover's warm caress. Mary fiddled with a string on the frayed edge of her t-shirt. Her favorite. It was me. I let the dogs out t-shirt. She hadn't showered in days and didn't even know where her hairbrush was. God, did her shoes even match? She always just towed on whatever she stumbled over first. They were going into Rosino. He hadn't said so, but where else would they be going for food and a cold beer? She ran a hand through her hair.
You look great, Mary. Settle back and relax. You're about to taste the best barbecue in the state.
A sexy grin spread across his face.
I didn't know we were going somewhere, or I would have changed and
done about 30 other things a real woman would have done before meeting that plane. Mary had been so lost in her head, coding new stuff into CJ, she hadn't even thought about how she looked. All she'd wanted was to see Dylan, make sure he was okay. When was the last time she'd put deodorant on? She probably stunk. Bree and Rhea would die if they knew she was headed into a town filled with strangers, looking like a troll just snagged under the bridge. Or even worse, one of those free